I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error. Go stronger.
Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. I'm in the Studio A with my good friend Matt Arnold.
Yeah, and I'm standing in a hole currently.
No, actually, Matthew's about 6'3", and I'm 5'4", and he's sitting and I'm standing for the YouTube and Facebook folks. Welcome to our show. I hope today's show is going to inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church.
Amen.
That's what Virgin Most Powerful Radio is all about. That's why we get up every day to do this. And as you know, today's topic is going to be about C.S. Lewis's little letter they call the Screwtape Letters. I have his book here. If you get a chance to pick it up, it's still in print. And this was back in the early 40s when it was published. And it's an interesting quote regarding the devil. And that's something that we're going to be talking about today. Also, we're going to be covering Cardinal Zen's comments about the church in China. You won't want to miss that today. We're also going to be talking about some good news stories in Poland. Yes, I have a good news story coming from Poland. I also have a good news story coming from Tennessee, so you won't want to miss that. And I want to also talk about the situation in our church with some of the Catholic organizations for the last 50 years publishing newspapers. And it's going to be interesting because I'm going to point out something that they have been forbidden to use the title Catholic for 50-some years, and they've continued to do that with no consequence. Mm-hmm. You'll find out later in the show. But before we do all that, that's all my teasers for today. I wanted to ask Matt to read the Gospel of Matthew from the Mass that we just had celebrated here at our chapel outside. And so, Matt, could you be so good?
Sure. It's a reading is from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew from chapter 11. Verses 25 through 27. At that time, Jesus exclaimed, I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Thus far, the words of the Holy Gospel.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Go ahead, Matthew.
All right. Well, you know, this is it's short and sweet today, and I always like it when the Gospel quotes directly from our Lord, talking about praising the God the Father, for although you have hidden these things, what's he talking about? He's talking about the mysteries of faith. He's talking about the mysteries of salvation. Although you've hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. Now, did God hide things from smart people or learned people?
No.
No. What happened, of course, is that they were not able to see those things because they were presented in a simple way. There's an old Chinese proverb, what is simply seen, but men so often mask themselves that what is simple is rarely understood. And I think that's very much what our Lord is talking about now. He's saying, I've got a message here. It's very simple. It's very plain, but people who are wise and learned are more interested in what they think than necessarily what God might have to say.
Well said. I always think of one of the saints that told me, I'm reading the lives of the saints, about humility and truth go together. Without humility, it's difficult to find the truth.
Boy, and that's, you know, Terry, just quickly on that is such a missing virtue. Obviously. Now, and boy, we're all of us tempted towards pride all the time. That's hardly unique to our circumstances. But at the same time, though, I just read an article or saw an article about five different attacks on Catholic churches over the weekend. Yeah. And the headline was, where is the outrage? Right? Because clearly we live in this sort of this outrage culture and people are always so upset about every little thing. How dare you put up a statue of Christopher Columbus 100 years ago? You know, I'm offended by that. So, but where's the outrage in, where's the press? You know, well, of course, the press is owned by the evil one, so you can't expect them to care much. But the other thing is, it's up to us as well. It is one of the spiritual works of mercy to bear wrongs patiently. And it isn't for Catholics to really contribute to the outrage culture. I think, of course, these things need to be denounced. They need to be pointed out. They need to be rectified. And the people that perpetrated them should be brought to justice, of all of that. But to feign outrage, to clutch my pearls at every perceived offense is not Catholic, and that's certainly not the way to personal holiness.
Well said, Matthew. I couldn't agree more with you on that.
Yeah, and humility is the key.
Yeah, it really is. And you know who actually said that was St. Thomas Aquinas. I was trying to think.
Yeah.
It was Aquinas who said that.
Yeah, not just a saint.
No, doctor of the church.
Pretty important one, yeah.
Absolutely. All right, well, let's bring in the smartest guy in the room, Fulton Sheen. Full Sheen ahead. Yes. And, you know, I want to mention our new show with Bishop Joseph Strickland. We started our show. It'll be recorded yesterday, but it's going to be played next Tuesday. And he quoted Fulton Sheen on his tweet. So we got a chance to talk about Fulton Sheen. And,
oh, very nice.
No surprise, Matthew. Bishop Strickland loves Fulton J.
Well, again, how could you be an Orthodox Catholic, and especially an American, and not?
Yeah, there you go. Well, here's what he has to say, short and sweet, like the gospel. And let's be honest, Satan is alive and well in the sense of our country right now. Here's what Bishop Sheen says. Satan always tempts the pure. The others are already his.
Right.
and my mother used to say that to me in another way. Mm-hmm. She would always say, when these evil things that were going on, Satan's not going to let them go because they're getting in trouble all by themselves. They're
right.
Doing fine in the sense of evil, but the devil will tempt us who are trying to live good lives because those are the ones he's wanting to get. As a matter of fact, the exorcists that I've met, and I've met several of them, they tell us that when someone is dying, this is when the devil makes his final attack to try and get that soul to leave God. And so there's lots of temptations on our deathbed. And that's why Divine Chaplet of Mercy is prayed at the deathbed. That's why we have prayers for the dead.
And praying the rosary.
The rosary.
And especially, and something that you can do for yourself is the prayers for a happy death. Prayer to St. Joseph, patron of a happy death. Why St. Joseph, the patron of the happy death? Well, you see it in Catholic art that Joseph is on his deathbed and Mary's got one hand and Jesus has the other.
I got to
tell you, that's the way I want to go out.
Exactly.
I will gladly pray to be accompanied by them. And again, especially to stave off those attacks. That's one of the things, too, so often in like the nursing homes and stuff. It's a great sadness to me right now that so many people that are in these high-risk situations that are closing in on the end of their life anyway are being prevented from receiving the sacraments, the last sacraments, or even just going to confession or receiving Holy Communion outside of Mass, which was something that should be very regular and in some places isn't regular enough to begin with. But it really is important because one of those things, and I remember having this conversation years ago and a more liberal Catholic friend, what kind of temptations do they have? It's not like they're sinning in this old folks home. It's like, have you ever heard of the temptation to despair?
Exactly.
When you're alone like that and you're bereft of the sacraments and company and they won't even let your own family come and see you. It's like, we really need to storm heaven on behalf of those souls.
Just to prove your point, I have a godmother. She's 96 years old.
God bless her.
And my godfather, they are married over 72 years. Well, he just passed 2 months ago. And speaking with my godmother, she said, Terry, you have no idea how lonely I am now.
Oh, bet.
They won't let my daughter, son, come to see us. This whole COVID-19 thing, she's a sharp woman. She says, it's killing me.
Yeah.
I want to meet with my friends. I want to have interaction, and I'm not getting it.
Yeah.
So you made a great point. Matthew, I've got some good news before we end the first segment.
Mm-hmm.
Poland, pro-life family president reelected by narrow margin. Now, this is a Polish president who's truly Catholic. Matter of fact, he has a son who's a Catholic priest.
Oh, very nice.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
So that's good news. And
can I tell you something real quick?
Tell me,
brother. I saw a photograph of Poland's pro-family president shortly after his reelection. You know what he was doing?
Tell us.
He was in the cathedral receiving communion from the bishop. You know how?
Probably on his tongue.
And kneeling, yes,
and
sir.
Kneeling. Yeah. Well, he's very devout Catholic, so to me, that's really great news. I have one more bit of news. The Tennessee governor signed a sweeping pro-life bill, but it's instantly blocked by the court. This is why, Matthew, it's so important that the president of the United States, who picks these judges
yeah.
are critical, because these are lifetime appointments.
Right.
Now, President Trump has picked over 200, and they're constitutionalists. They're people who do respect the pro-life side.
Right.
And so that's why this next election that we're having.
Well, you can't be a constitutionalist and not respect the pro-life
not.
Side. It's the First Amendment.
Exactly. But we've got a lot of them on the other side, so we need to really vote with our Catholic faith. Hey, I want to thank everybody, too. We had a meeting last night on protecting our chapel and praying. We're going to be doing Eucharistic adoration throughout the day and the evenings at our chapel. And I mentioned that we're painting the church, the studio, our offices, and we got a bunch of paint donated, about 175 gallons.
Amen.
But the labor costs are about $12,000, and we've got about $7,500 raised. If you want to help paint our church, give a call, 877-526-2151, and you can make a tax-deductible donation, or go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Or, hey, I'll give you my cell number to call me. I'd love to talk to you, even if you don't have a donation. 661-972-7872. When we come back, Matthew, I want to talk about C.S. Lewis, the Screwtape Letters, and how this was written many, many decades ago, like 70, 80 years ago, and how it sounds like it was written in 2020. Wow. Matt Arnold sitting in for Jesse Romero. This is
glad
Terry Barber.
Here.
We're glad to have you aboard. And Matthew actually has a show right after this show. You won't want to miss it. If you can't get it on the radio, just go to the App Store and pick up it. Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father Altier and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us, by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time, because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871. Because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
All right, welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Matthew Arnold in for Jesse Romero today, out preaching the gospel to a fallen world, or doing something.
That's exactly
important.
What he's doing.
All right, very good. Terry Barber with us as always. And as Terry was mentioning at the just before the break, got a quote here. It's been making the rounds on the internet. It's attributed to C.S. Lewis and Screwtape Letters.
Right.
It is most certainly within that style. I don't know. We were kind of looking through our copy of the Screwtape Letters here and couldn't find this quote. So if it's not actually in the book, I apologize. But whoever's behind it certainly has captured the style and the feel. And it's a question and answer. If you're not familiar with the Screwtape Letters, it's a it is a fictional correspondence between a chief demon and one of his lesser imps and their work trying to corrupt the human race.
Yes.
Wormwood and Screwtape.
Right.
And so the question says, how did you manage to bring so many souls into hell at that time? And the answer is because of fear. Fear of getting sick. It cost them their affection. They did not hug or greet each other. They had no human contact for days and days. Their money. They lost their jobs, spent all their savings, and still thought themselves lucky to be prevented from earning their bread. Their intelligence. One day the press said one thing, the next day it contradicted itself, and they still believed it all. Their freedom. They did not leave their house, did not walk, did not visit their relatives. It was a big concentration camp for voluntary prisoners. They accepted everything, everything. It was like that, as easy as it had ever been.
Hmm.
And there it is. So obviously this is people quoting this to apply to our very situation.
Yes,
in the world of COVID-19.
Yes.
I was Rush Limbaugh, I guess, as I was driving in this morning, was reading from the New York Times about how people refuse to face the brutal reality of COVID-19 to embrace the fantasy of a return to normalcy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a narrative in the national press that things are never going to be normal again.
Right, that's what they're telling us.
It doesn't ever. And we're not talking about the op-ed page.
No.
You know, I mean, the very idea. I went to high school in, you know, early 70s and.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It was a long time ago. And I can recall being aware of media bias at the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, even just when Huntley and Brinkley used to say goodnight to each other, it's like, whoa, you know, come on now. You guys are getting a little chummy here. Let's stick to the facts, right? And then, of course, it's gotten crazy since then to the point where that's, you know, clearly an opinion and one very baldly stated and one swings particularly to one side of an issue presented in it as though it were a news story.
We call it fake news today. We get all this news going and people buy it hook, line, and sinker. I would say, Matthew, when I read this, I thought of the element of the face mask where I'm watching someone ride a bike on his, you know, 10-speed bike down a road where nobody's there except cars driving by,
mm-hmm.
and he's got a mask on.
Right.
And I said this yesterday, we just buried a 23-year-old young man who had asthma and died because of an asthmatic attack. And again, the mask, you only get at least
20%.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I'm just saying, it seems to me that this Screwtape letter is speaking to us today because fear is very prominent.
Well, that's very much so. And fear, by the way, is a great motivator. Fear and fear mongering is at a fever pitch right now. Not only do we have boogeyman of the COVID-19 virus.
Right.
And again, you know, I don't want to get letters. I know it's a real virus. I know
of course
people
it is.
Really get it. I know that some of those people die.
Yep.
All right. And I don't want to sound callous.
Or cavalier or anything.
But we've had in the United States of America 133,000 deaths, I guess, which is, you know, you think, well, that's 133,000 people is a lot of people. But we're talking about spread over a population of 335 million.
Mm-hmm.
people.
Yep.
And that's a fraction of a fraction of 1%.
99.7% of the people who get COVID-19 will survive it.
Mm-hmm.
And 45% of the deaths come from people that are elderly in rest homes.
You know, it's interesting. I'm sure you guys have talked about this because, I mean, the big news is that, there's a spike in COVID-19 cases.
Yes.
Remember, at once upon a time, it was about COVID-19 deaths. Well, it's not about deaths anymore. It's just about cases now. Because the death rate isn't high enough to frighten anybody. So we make a boogeyman out of the fact that some people have it.
Right.
And more people have it. Now, does that mean more and more people are getting it? Or does that mean that they're identifying more and more cases because of the testing? Well, there's, you know, pretty obvious correlation there. And Trump even said a few days ago that maybe we should pull back on the testing because it's just freaking people out.
Right.
And Biden's people jumped all over him. But until somebody pointed out that in 2009, the Obama administration, during the N1H1.
That's right. These are facts.
Yeah, that they pulled testing and, you know, told the CDC to stop testing. And when the press asked them, you know, why have you stopped testing? They said, well, we already know it's an epidemic. That's what the testing is for. And now, now we have our answer. Yeah. So we don't need to test anymore. And, of course, it was because they didn't want people to be freaked out by
exactly. it. Exactly. And the difference is you got President Trump now.
That's right.
And you know what? Just a quick note on that. Here in Los Angeles, we have the second largest school district in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And they just decided that they're not going to get the kids back in school for September.
Right.
And Larry
Whereas throughout the entire Western world, even Canada, everybody's saying that, that to follow the science, you need to send the kids back to school.
Exactly. But here's the facts. 144 kids last year died from the flu. Okay, but they didn't close the school.
Nope.
12 kids died from COVID, and they're closing the school.
Right.
What's different?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you my answer.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think we know the answer. I think that it's pretty clear that what's different is because that the seasonal flu doesn't give the Republican Party a black eye.
Yes. It's all political in a sense of everything is being done in a political mindset.
I heard from a nurse this morning. Who's, you know, saying that their entire staff is just completely fed up because in the state where she resides, if a person in a nursing home tests positive, they send them all to the hospital. She said, these are people, no symptoms. They're not coughing, you know. Some of them have a low-grade fever, and so they're testing, and they continue to test, test to try and get the numbers up, even though, and they're not getting them up as it is. And she's going, we are exhausted.
Yeah.
You know, and they're exhausted now because they're taking care of elderly people who aren't even sick.
Yeah.
You know, and it, at some point, do you remember, Terry? Do you remember back in March, I guess it was, and they said, you know, we need to do this because we got to flatten the curve. Should take a couple of weeks. And you know what? Curve flattened out in a couple of weeks. And here we are. How many months later?
Several.
Being told that we're never going to go back to normal. And riots are normal. And you don't have to do social distancing as long as you're rioting. And that has nothing to do with an increase in cases, right?
Yep.
It was people that went to on vacation over the week, Memorial Day weekend, that's why, or 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
That's why there's a spike in cases because they're testing more people and they're coming up positive, any number of whom are asymptomatic on top of it.
That's correct. That's where I was just going to go with that.
And the point is not to say that this virus isn't a concern or that we shouldn't be concerned about it, that we shouldn't be doing everything we can to
Absolutely.
Stop it. But can I tell you a story real quick?
A quick one. Yeah, we got time.
It was years ago. And it was during one of the many droughts. You know, I live in Southern California. I've lived here my entire life.
Yes.
I mean, 6 decades now. And I have watched the droughts come and go.
Of course.
And every time they come, you got people on the left saying, there's never going to be any more water ever again. So we have to implement all these drastic policies. You got to have lots of socialism because there's not enough water. And, of course, and then after a few years, there's a bunch of rain and all the reservoirs fill back up and it's not an issue anymore. But the policies don't ever go away, right? Because that's the thing. It's like Democrats never let a good crisis go to waste.
That's right.
But we live in the situation here. And somebody, there was a scientist, right? Scientists. Science! The great god of science. And he says, you know, there's a water table underneath the desert in California that is so vast that if you could tap into it, they could make Death Valley into a verdant paradise.
Wow.
You could make Death Valley into the breadbasket of the world with the water that's available underground. Well, how could we get to it, the reporter said. I think this was on NPR years ago. And the guy said, well, I mean, the only way that I can think of would be a nuclear blast. And he says, well, but what about all the fallout that would come from that? You know, the destruction and the disease and the radiation. He says, well, that's not my area. And that's precisely what's going on. We're letting immunologists drive this narrative.
Yes.
It's like, you know, what are you going to tell? What's an immunologist going to say? What's the best way to spread disease? Well, avoid contact.
Well,
But does that mean that you destroy the entire world's economy to the tune of $9 trillion of debt so far?
Yeah. We call it collateral damage. That's what I call right now. So many people have died because of COVID-19's effects, like people who don't go to work every day, they got depressed, they have suicide is up.
I was going to say suicide is
huge.
Has it taken over as the number one cause of young people now? It's getting close.
I thought it was number two. But
I think it's number two after accidents.
Yes, exactly, Matthew. And so the collateral damage that's happening with COVID-19 is much greater than the COVID-19 virus. And so I just think, with a common sense, is saying, why are we doing all of this when the medicine that we're been given is worse than the virus?
Right. Yeah. When the cure is worse than the disease, then maybe it's time to rethink.
And I think that's where we're at right now. I want to just also.
By the way, I got news. I'm sorry. No, this is just an insight that struck me this morning. I can't have an unexpressed thought.
Yes.
There are people who are fear-mongering, and part of the reason is that part of that fear-mongering, I mean, part of the psyops that's happening here is subtle. Yes, we're doing this because of Trump. Yes, we know that this is out of all proportion. Mm-hmm. But hey, elect us, and it'll go away, right?
That's exactly.
But I'll tell you something right now. If you do that, it will not go away. It will get worse. They will continue down that same road because once... You know, because they don't care about impoverishing the world. It's all about power at the end of the day.
That's always been the case. Hey, when we come back, we want to talk now, shifting gears, to the church in China. My heart goes out to the church in China. I've met Catholic priests who are underground priests where they've been branded because they're underground, mm-hmm. like a cattle. And I've talked to them about the suffering that the church goes through in China. Well, Cardinal Zen is one of my heroes, and he is a retired cardinal who is becoming very vocal to stand up for the Catholics in China for their religious freedom. And he's now accusing the Vatican Secretary of State, Cardinal Parolin, of basically helping kill the church in China. He used the word murder.
Murder was his word, yeah.
Murdering the church in China and manipulating the Holy Father. When we come back, we'll talk about that. Also, for those who are in Southern California, we still have people are calling me about mass schedules for this weekend. Same mass schedules, same confession schedules. That means 3:00 here at the Sacred Heart Chapel in Covina. We'll have confessions from 3 until the vigil mass at 5. And then on Sunday before the 9 a.m. mass, confessions again. You know, one of the signs of a good parish, Matt, I've always noticed when I go to do public speaking, I look at the bulletin and I look at, are they offering confessions often? Mm-hmm. It usually gives me an indication. Eucharistic adoration. Do they have the Legion of Mary? You know, things like that.
Right.
Wow. Well, we have it here at the Sacred Heart Chapel this weekend. Again, when we come back, we'll talk about Cardinal Zen calling out the church regarding the persecution of the church in China. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Matt Arnold's filling in for Jess. We're too blessed to be stressed, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR, live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Healthcare news today seems to be coming from everywhere and everyone. It's confusing, at least, and untrustworthy at the worst. Dr. Aceta is a faithful Catholic in the Kern County community. He is trustworthy, well-researched, and will only give expert opinion on matters in his own specialty. Catholic teaching at its entirety is of utmost importance to Dr. Aceta. Give Dr. Aceta a call for your obstetrics and gynecological needs at 661-695-6617.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. I just got to say that I hope you're having as much fun as I am. Really, Matt. Off the air, on the air, this is how we interact together for probably over two decades. Is that?
Yeah, I'd say that this conversation has been going on for 20 years.
Yeah. and it's just fun because guess what we get to talk?
The characters change, but strangely, the themes remain.
But it's all about God. Typical. It's all about salvation. It's all about how we can help people fall deep in love with Jesus and his church.
That's right.
And this article, Cardinal Zen calls out the Holy Father. He's calling out the bishops who are making this deal with China that says that the state-run church is going to be able to have authority from the Vatican. And what's happened so far, as Cardinal Zen has said, that the church's religious freedom has gone way down. Like, for example, if you're 18 years or younger, you're not allowed to go into these Catholic churches. And they're taking the Bible and changing it to have more communistic approaches. Right. On the faith.
And removing crucifixes and crosses from classrooms.
Knocking churches
and so
down.
Yeah.
And so Cardinal Zen is asking the Holy Father and the bishops not to renew this agreement because it's bad for Joe Sixpack, so to speak, in the pew. And I see this as almost like a John the Baptist who's crying out and saying, hey, don't sign the deal because our people are suffering from it.
Well, you know, I think it's interesting, and I see a parallel, and I mentioned this to you earlier in the what's happened at Hagia Sophia.
Yes,
you know, in
tell recent, us what that is. That's the
Hagia Sophia. It's a Holy Wisdom. It was the largest church in Christendom.
Yeah,
it's certainly the largest church in the East, and
in
it was built in the 500s. Yes, and it's built in in Istanbul.
Yep,
formerly Constantinople.
Yep,
and it was when the Muslims. Yep. Took over in the
1500s.
Yeah, and when they finally overran Constantinople. And it was made into a mosque. And then in 1934, I think, it was turned into a museum. And in a because it's part of a kind of a secularization that was entered into by the government at that time. They're trying to be less of a theocracy and be more competitive with the rest of the world, that sort of thing. So in 1934, they're saying, hey, look, you know, I mean, it's messed up that we turned Hagia Sophia into a mosque since it was, you know, the greatest church, Christian church,
right.
You know, in the world. So we're going to make it, we're not going to let it be a church, but we'll make it a museum at least where people can go and see that's what it was built for. Well, they've just, their current president has just turned that around, so they're going to make it back into a mosque.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing about this is that this comes after the Abu Dhabi agreement.
Explain that for our folks.
Okay, Pope Francis and an imam whose name is unpronounceable.
I can't remember.
Entered into an agreement between the Catholic Church and the Islamic world that they were going to respect each other. And part of the provisos is to protect the integrity of their places of worship. And, of course, this is the very first, you know, one of the first significant things to happen since that agreement is that they've gone back on their word and you know.
Of course.
I know, in the defense of the president of Turkey, he didn't enter into this agreement. And that's the other thing, too, is I think it's ill-advised for the Pope to enter into agreements with any of these groups because no one represents any of these other groups the way the Pope represents the Catholic Church.
That's right.
The Pope has no analogy in any of these other religions. There's nobody who is the, I mean, who's the head of Islam? It's like, and the first question has to be, what kind of Islam?
That's
and so,
right.
And there you have your answer.
That's right.
You know? But to enter into an agreement like that, and then to, he's left though, John Zmirak, and this also shows you kind of the temper of the times. John Zmirak is a very much a conservative Catholic commentator,
mm-hmm.
been doing it for years. And I can tell you that a couple of years ago, he would never in a million years have said this. 5 years ago, it would have been, he'd have probably couldn't have entered into his brain.
Right.
But what he said is that because the Holy Father has aligned himself with the causes that are, you know, represent these various kind of woke ideologies,
mm-hmm.
that he has, in effect, as a consequence, become, and these are John Zmirak's words, not mine, a moral idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Because he can't call out the people that are, you know, offending these things because it's not part of the, you know, the list of approved villains. And so when it comes to the greatest church of Christendom being turned into a mosque, all he can say is, I am saddened by this, you know, I'm saddened by Hagia Sophia, six words.
Weak.
Well, not only that, but ambiguous. Saddened in what way? That they didn't do it sooner? You know,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? There's no there.
Right.
And it's unfortunate. And it's the same thing here where Cardinal Zen talks about going out to, you know, he saw the Secretary of State.
Yes.
And essentially got the door.
Yes.
And wanted to see the Holy Father and finally arranged to have dinner with him with the Secretary present, you know, and that the Holy Father seemed to be, you know, offering his regrets or his sadness at the situation, but not apparently motivated to do anything about it.
Yeah, his lip service.
Yeah, and so it's a sad state of affairs when we've come to this pass.
But you know, I think of the book by Monsignor George Kelly, The Battle for the American Church, and he says, "Where's the church going? Where its leaders take them?"
You know, you've been saying that for me for 20 years before I was Catholic.
That's
you
correct.
That.
I would say that to you.
And it is. Where's it going? Where's leaders? And so what does that mean for you and me?
We pray.
That's right.
Gosh.
That means we've got to storm heaven on behalf of these men.
And you know, Matt, this is an opportunity.
And in such ways as we can hold them accountable.
Absolutely. And
but,
you know.
But mostly it's pray.
We are so blessed to have Bishop Joseph Strickland as part of our Virgin Most Powerful lineup because he's a bishop who speaks the truth with charity, but with clarity.
Right.
And he's not afraid to go outside the box and say, this is wrong. Now, this is another topic, but we're talking about the church in China and leadership issues.
Right.
Let me just mention something that Bishop Strickland has communicated to me, that he is the bishop of Tyler, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So when he speaks for his flock, a couple hundred thousand, 300,000 Catholics. He represents, I think, 68 parishes.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a bishop's conference in Florida, in Texas, where he resides. But he doesn't necessarily go along with the bishop's conference when they make these statements that aren't consistent with what traditional Catholic teachings are.
Right.
And so he made a comment, and he referred to Pope Benedict XVI when he did a book called The Ratzinger Report, and I'd recommend everybody to read it, 1985,
right.
Ignatius Press. He said that these bishops' conferences are really not good because individual bishops are being, their authority is being usurped because the bishops' conference says a statement and the bishop, local bishop says, wait a minute.
Right.
That's not what...
Unfortunately, and you would think this would not be the case, but unfortunately, in practice, the bishops' conference seems to go directly against the principle of subsidiarity.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's the local bishop. The reason you have a local bishop in the first place is because he's going to be aware of what's going on locally.
Yeah.
You know? And these one-size-fits-all solutions are not necessarily effective in that way. Thankfully, and I think that not everybody is entirely aware of this, I suppose, but these conferences don't really have any juridic authority.
They don't.
You know, they don't bind those bishops, even if they, the guy that votes no to that statement doesn't have to go and stand by it. But I'm sure there's a great deal of pressure to do just that thing.
There is pressure. I've met many bishops in our own state of California who've told me privately
that they feel hampered.
Yeah, and they wish they didn't have to even go to the meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's even a question that's brought up in the last several months. Should we... as a church, and we're not in management, we're in sales, okay?
So right, yeah, yeah.
Bishops, But I think that's a question that should be, you know, at least entertained, and that is, should we continue with these bishops' conferences? I mean, the church is 2,000 years old.
Right, yeah, yeah.
I mean, this has only been going on for, what, 50, 60 years, Matt?
Yeah.
I don't see the fruit of it myself.
Well, that's just it. And part of it is just that I think anybody understands that bureaucracy is not the most direct form of governance.
Yeah.
My father used to say about committees, he said, a committee is a group of people that takes a good idea down a dark alley and strangles it to death.
That's true.
Wise man. Well, but that's, you know, it's what happens. You get a bunch of different people with a bunch of different ideas, and they're going to wind up, you know, that's old expression, old Arab expression, the camel is a horse that was designed by a committee.
That's a good one. Matthew, I want to inspire all of us here at Virgin Most Powerful to fall deep in love with Jesus, but I also want to be aware of what's going on in our church in the side of media. And one of the publications is called the National Catholic Register. They've been around since the 60s. And what's interesting is when I tell you after the break, they won a Catholic Press Association Award for pro-LGBT publications, which are obviously at odds with the Catholic Church. And guess what? When they started in 1968, the bishops made a statement saying that they can't use the name Catholic. Now, that was 1968. I was 11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in my 60s now.
And the masthead still says National Catholic still, Reporter.
Yeah. Thank you. I call it the National Catholic Distorter.
Yes.
Because what it does is it presents Catholic teachings, but not Catholic teachings. They call it Catholic teachings, but they're dissenters.
Yeah, well, there are people that gladly put a question mark where the church has put a period.
And again, the CPA, the National Catholic Reporter, the judges of the CPA said that this newspaper is one of the best newspapers. So that tells you where they're at. And mm-hmm. So inside the church, we do need a cleaning. We need a cleansing where we come back to the fundamentals, as Bishop Strickland has been saying on his show. Let's go back to the fundamentals because we've lost it.
You know, I hesitate to say this almost because, but I was going to bring up Michael Voris.
Yes.
And Michael Voris is solely responsible for the stuff he says.
Yes.
Okay. I don't want you to consider this a personal endorsement, but there's an object lesson. The National Catholic Reporter presents itself as a Catholic newspaper, but it absolutely does not reflect the teaching of the Catholic Church.
Right.
Okay. Michael Voris has an organization called Church Militant. They were originally called Real Catholic TV, and the bishop said, you can't do that, and they immediately removed Catholic from their name.
Because they're
obedient. You know, I mean, yeah.
Great point.
Yeah, which one is setting the better example?
Yeah, actually. When we come back, our final segment, we'll talk some more about some of the craziness that's going on in the church and how you can support Holy Mother of the Church through your prayer life, through a personal holiness. So that's what really counts at the end. We'll be back with much more on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Jesus said in Luke 17, "When you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have only done our duty." According to St. John of the Cross, God is pleased with the little deeds we do in secret. He takes more pleasure in these than in a multitude of grand works that we may do out of the desire to be seen by others. May God help us to do the things that please Him, and not just to appear great in the eyes of others.
Baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before. at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871. Because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Actually, Jesse's out for today. He'll be back tomorrow. Matthew Arnold sitting in.
Yeah.
And I thank you for doing that, Matt.
Yeah.
And we've been talking about all these crazy things that are going on in our culture, in our church. But you know what? What's most important, obviously, is our personal holiness. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But I also want to remind everybody, if you'd like to be a monthly donor, if you give $25 a month, Matt, why don't you share what happens to that person in the sense of their formation, their opportunity of getting solidly Catholic material?
Well, and not only, of course, everyone is can avail themselves of the materials that we produce each and every day here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio via YouTube, Facebook, our own app, our website, the various podcast platforms, pretty much all of them, as far as I know.
Yes.
But we also have a lot of materials that are available specifically to the people to give us that $25 a month donation. We have, we do conferences, and even with the COVID thing, we've continued with the conferences using the video technology, and those are archived, and they are available. We have, I don't know how many hours of teaching from people like Scott Hahn
and Steve Ray and Tim Staples
and so forth, Bishop Sheen. There's a great deal that you can access, and you know you have absolutely free, unrestricted access to all of those things. Each month, we post new material, and each month you get a new code.
Your downloads.
Yeah, and so you can download the stuff, or you can access it on the computer. You don't have to burden your own system with the memory. You know, you can just access it, and it's yours for as long as you're participating, and it is. You know, it's a wealth of material that I consider myself to have gotten my primary Catholic education and formation. Mm-hmm. Listening to those cassette tapes back in the day, driving back and forth to work when I was commuting from Orange County to Hollywood. And now it can be you and through any of your devices.
Well said, Matt. And so if you want to become a monthly donor, I'd appreciate it. That's how we pay our monthly bills.
Amen. That's what keeps the lights on.
Call us at 877-526-2151 or go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org.
I would also mention that we do pray for the intentions of our donors. You know, we pray for our audience, but we pray especially at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And so there's a benefit there that you are a part of that, that group.
Every Thursday, we pray for the priest from 7 to 9 before the Blessed Sacrament. I take a stack about an inch to an inch and a half of paper, 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper, where people have asked for prayer requests, and we set it in the church, and we lift that up in prayer every week for you. So we thank you for that.
Amen. And we're looking for your prayers in return.
That's what I'm thanking you for, all of that above. I wanted to mention something, Matthew, that, again, is tragic in our culture. I talked about, well, abortion, youth in Asia. We talk about same-sex so-called marriage. Well, the Florida Attorney General calls for an investigation of abortion center linked to the Pornhub trafficking cases of minors. I've always said this because I've seen that before over the years, but I don't know if people are really aware that many times the pornography, the abortion industry are tied in, sex trafficking, they just take the girls to the abortion clinic. They pay for the service of killing the unborn baby, and then put them back
to work. Well, you know, you're familiar with Lila Rose. I remember one of her, she goes into the, or would go into abortion centers and with a hidden camera and represent herself. She was a very youthful looking young woman. She was in her 20s, but she'd present herself as a teenager. Mm-hmm. And at one point she came in, she had like a 35-year-old man who represented himself as her procurer, if you will, and herself as a prostitute, like a 15-year-old prostitute, and talking, I need to get an abortion, and you know, this happens with some regularity, and he's talking about, can he bring all the girls in? And they're like, oh, absolutely, you betcha. And, you know, you can see that it was just, I mean, they were absolutely thrilled with the prospect of having a steady stream of teenage girls without any kind of, you know, now, girls that couldn't get their ears pierced without their parents' approval, okay, coming and by getting abortions as part of their ongoing sexual exploitation. That they would make themselves a willing party to that. So, I mean, there's a smoking gun on that connection.
And that is the battle right now, Matthew, in our country. A federal judge blocks Georgia law banning most abortions on babies with heartbeats.
Right, yeah, another heartbeat law.
Yeah, another heartbeat law. And you see, this is why this election coming up in, 90 days? A couple months.
The same with the we started the show you're talking about in Tennessee.
That's right, same thing.
And it was that same thing where if the baby has a discernible heartbeat.
And that's why picking those judges are so important that the next president will have. President Trump has picked over 200 judges, as Father Frank Pavone for Priests for Life has made that point.
I would suggest to you that this whole thing, and as regards the legal battles in the United States and going one way rather than another.
Yeah.
Is largely attributable to the Supreme Court that was sitting at the time of the prayer in schools case back in 1962.
You nailed it.
And, you know, there was one dissenting vote about the, you know, banning prayer in school. And that one dissenter was the only justice who had, in fact, ever been a judge. All the rest were political appointees.
I didn't know
who'd
that.
Who'd never sat on a bench.
Never knew that.
The other eight justices had no judicial experience.
Fascinating.
You know, so it's important about who you put in those positions.
Yes, and let's do the best we can as Catholics to vote with our moral conscience. And just one more pitch on that. Monsignor William Smith, a moral theologian who taught me my moral theology, said that when you're voting for a candidate, there's no perfect candidate. There's no, the Blessed Mother, Jesus isn't running. So what you have to do.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. You have to look at who's going to move the football closer to the foot for the first down or a touchdown, right? Move it forward. And when you look at what was going on, as Father Frank Pavone suggested, go to the platforms of each party and look at what they stand for. Just like I asked you to go to Black Lives Matter's website,
see what they stand for.
Do that. And then you can make a judgment call based on the facts rather than what I call fake news.
Right. There are things that are non-negotiable.
That's right.
You know, in the moral life. There are things that are in a gray area and lesser two evils and all that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you're voting for candidates, you need to vote for the one who either has Christian principles or is the most closely allied to Christian principles.
That's right.
And even if you think, you know, I suspect there were any number of people that voted for Donald Trump in 2016 on that basis, assuming that he was going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was certainly the consensus. But that was the right thing to do, not only because, as it turns out, there were enough of those people that he won instead, but more to the point is that you can't morally vote for someone who you know is going to pursue those evil, you know, agenda points. And secondly, even if you lose, at least you will have mitigated the size of their victory.
Where was this going to go? He takes words out of my mouth. Matthew, I will say it this way. That when you vote for a candidate who is for killing unborn babies, objectively, you're participating in that sin. If you know that this is what, like, for example, Joe Biden has made it clear. He's going to fund Planned Parenthood. He wants abortion on demand.
Yep. He'll overturn stuff that's been accomplished.
That's what he said. And he wants to protect Roe versus Wade. Guess what, folks? I hate to be the bearer of bad news. But I love you enough to tell you to your face, or in fact, the radio in my ears, that voting for a candidate that's going to support the killing of unborn babies is objectively a mortal sin. Okay, I said it, Matt.
Yeah, well, not only that, and now your conscience has been been informed, by the
that's
way.
That's right.
The other thing in this that's really an issue, I think, is don't be fooled into thinking that Joe Biden is any kind of good Catholic. He calls himself a Catholic, but he is, as we would say, Catholic in name only.
Yeah, that's true.
And if somebody, you know, if you were to vote for him with the idea, oh, I'm going to put in a Catholic president, you're going to be sorely disappointed at his policies, I fear.
That's right. Well said. Let's end with our five stones of David.
Okay.
Because
refresh my memory.
All right. Well, here's the bottom line. We need personal holiness.
Amen.
Every single person is not going to be judged, not from a nation, but individually when you go before the throne of God. And I hope there's enough evidence that will convict you to be a follower of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And here's number one. We want you to read your Bible. We read Matthew's gospel today.
Mm-hmm.
Get your Bible every day. It's God's love letter to you. We want you to continue to pray the rosary every single day. As Bishop Strickland told us yesterday, you're off the team if you're not praying the rosary. Now, we also say, get the confession.
Mm-hmm.
I know that...
Yeah, more challenging now than
normal
times.
But you know what? We do the things that are necessary in
That's
life.
That's right.
So I hear if you're in Southern California, come on at 3 o'clock on Friday, Saturday afternoons, a couple hours of hearing confessions. Sunday morning, we also have confessions. Go to the Norbertines. There's lots of churches or religious congregations that offer confession. But get to it at least once a month, if not more. Number four, we want you to make visits to the Blessed Sacrament, Holy Hour of Power. The Eucharist, we say, is the source and summit of the Christian life. Stay close. Like Matt and I, we can go right after this show to visit Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament.
Right.
What a great blessing that is, Matt.
Amen. Yeah.
And the last one, Matt, is penance. Want to talk a little bit about penance?
Yeah. Boy, living in a penitential life. And we have a great opportunity at this time. And there's a whole lot of suffering that you can embrace and make use of in regard to your own battle for holiness, but also for the holy souls in purgatory.
Absolutely.
We're then going to, I guarantee they will return the favor. When they're no longer holy souls in purgatory, but holy souls in heaven, you're going to have some mighty advocates.
And don't forget, every action is like a blank check. If Christ's name is on it, it has infinite value.
Mm-hmm.
So today, as every day, live in the presence of God and try to strive for personal sanctity one moment at a time. I want to also ask Matthew what state we should be living in, but I wanted to give a little teaser before I do that. Your show is coming up.
Right, got a show coming up. Going to be talking about a number of things. The title of this week's show is Salvation for Everybody? Answer may surprise you.
Surprise you.
Okay, and going to be talking about salvation, obviously. Also, going to talk a little bit about doctrine and dogma and how doctrine and dogma are actually very liberating.
Yes.
And whereas relativism is, on the contrary, rather enslaving, although that may seem paradoxical.
Matthew, one quick note about a new show that's coming up with Dr. Sandoval. Do you want to give a little plug for that?
Yeah, Dr. Louis Sandoval is a psychotherapist.
That's
he's
right.
a doctor.
Psychiatrist.
He is also part of the Orange County team of exorcism.
Mm-hmm.
So he's there taking part in that and helping the discernment process between mental illness and demonic possession.
Wow.
So he's a guy with he's got a very deep skill set and a very specifically Catholic one. So very absolutely worth listening to.
New show on Thursdays?
Yep, right here, the Dr. Louis Sandoval show.
Right after the Terry and Jesse show.
Well,
Matthew Arnold.
Starting next week.
Starting next week. Matt Arnold, what state should we be living in?
That would be the state of grace, Terry.
And not the deep state, right?
That's not.
Okay. Just a joke. But I want to live in the state of grace. And how do we do that? By living a life, Christ-centered life. And we here at Virgin Most Powerful have one focus, to get you to heaven. Up next, Matt Arnold. May God richly bless you and your family.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O Divine and Great High Priest, May the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.